We are. Okay, I think we are. We on? Can you hear? Yes? No? Can you hear? All right. Okay, good. Thank you. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer together. Our Father, we pray for wisdom to fathom your word, to understand, to appreciate, and then give to us that grace to apply what we read, what we learn. And Father, we pray that you would teach us how to pray, how to go deeper in our understanding and the practice of prayer. We pray for your grace to be given. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we turn to Psalm 18 once again. And please remember this. And when we read the Psalms, many of the Psalms are just personal prayers. They give us helpful insights. Okay? But the Psalms do not provide a theology, as it were, of what prayer really is. So you've got to figure that out. You've got to work it out. You've got to think through it very, very carefully. Otherwise, it's going to be challenging. So take, for example, the psalmist talks about how he loves the Lord, okay, which is wonderful. Then you talk about the pains of death, the pangs of death, right? And you've got to, of course, to remember, this is also Psalm 116, the things that are associated with death. They made me afraid. Right? So this is something that we need to look at. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. Well, that was talking about death. But death is not something you can simply say, okay, I understand it. You can't. You wish you could. It's not easily understood. This is something that we need to look at. And then the earth tremble, and the earth... So every time there's an earthquake, that doesn't mean that God answered the prayer. So this is just a language, it is imagery. So don't get yourself confused along the way. Okay? So this is important. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. That means you... God save you from drowning. Don't worry about it. A lot of imagery is to be found in the Psalms. The challenge is to figure out what the imagery means and then to look at it very, very carefully. Right? So we take a look tonight on the subject of the idea of looking at it. Who is God except the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength. Now, you have a tremendous, as it were, we call it a spontaneous outburst. Now, you want to be careful of doing this as well. So you don't want to, it's now time to shout out loud. Okay, now you stand wherever you are. Okay, now is the time to shout. It's not that at all. So you got to understand imagery, and it can be quite challenging at times to figure this out. Okay? But this idea of who is God except the Lord, who is a rock except our God, is actually, would you believe it? This is actually very Mosaic. See, a lot of us don't realize that the language borrowed here or stated here is as old as that of Moses. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy and you will see this quite clearly. Okay? And you see this in Deuteronomy chapter 33, for example, or even 32. Let's take a look. Okay? In Israel constitution, the word for God is the rock. and this Deuteronomy. Take a look at this. Unless their rock had sold them. Their rock is not like our rock. Right? The Lord is my rock. Guess what? That's as Deuteronomy as you can get. Okay, can you see this? So this is what we have over here. The Lord is the judge of his people. You see this in Psalm 7. You see this in Psalm 9. God as a judge. Right? So Psalm 7, Psalm 9, these are all, okay? Verse 39. Now see that I, even I am he, there is no God besides me. And this is what the Lord is about. Right? And so sometimes you hear the psalmist almost repeating himself because he's familiar with the language of Moses. And he comes forth with words of thanksgiving and of praise that we see over here. Who is a God like him? So we'll see this. And later on, the prophets will say the same thing. They will borrow the language of the psalmist. And who borrowed the language from Moses? Right? Who would Moses borrow from? No need. He experienced so many things. The rock was there. He saw the rock. From the rock came water. And so on and so forth. He was hidden in a cleft of a rock. And God appears to him. And Mount Paran. It's actually Deuteronomy. Sinai. All these things were actually very much the language of Deuteronomy, if you understand this. Okay? So there we go. So this is idea of the rock, and this is Deuteronomy 33, 32 as well. 33, we go on further, and we'll see this, right? And of course, all the different blessings that he pronounced on, it's all the Lord. Take a look at 33, 26. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you. See? Excellency in the cloud. This is the language of Psalm 80. Right? So it's sometimes wonderful to trace the lessons all the way back and to the Lord. And Deuteronomy 33, happy are you, O Israel, the shield of your help, sword of your majesty. There we go. The idea of a shield, the Lord being there, actually is very, very much, not just imagery, but imagery taken all the way from the book of Deuteronomy. So you have a very enriched experience. See, so sometimes prayer becomes even more enriching when you understand, you trace it and say, wow, this is age old. This is really going all the way back to Moses. This is experience of many of the Lord's saints. And then you begin to realize, wow, this is such a rich, wonderful way of entering into prayer with God. Okay, so this is something that you want to consider. So this idea of extolling God is there. 145 is an example. I will extol you, O Lord. Right? So this is something that is not new in any way. Now, we say, it is God who arms me with strength. Now, you have to be able to demonstrate that. Okay? You cannot be emotionally weak, spiritually weak, physically weak. The Lord with strength. Nobody is going to be very convinced when we speak like that. Right? You've got to see it in your life. You've got to see it over a span of time. You've got to see it demonstrated again and again, consistently. Then when you say, God is the one who arms me with strength, people will say, yes. Otherwise, nothing much. All right? So this is important. So it is God who arms me. This is basically a testimony. He makes my way perfect. Now you've got to be very, very clear what we mean when we talk about way perfect. See, sometimes we use our idea, our own personal ideas, Perfect means sinlessness. No. Perfect means perfect. No. Right? So you have to understand that sometimes our understanding of perfect is not necessarily what the word suggests, the word perfect suggests in itself. Right? So you like hard-boiled eggs. Perfect. We had some Perth girls and boys come over here. Some of the girls, what's that? We are sunk. See, to you, it's perfect. To the person, how can you eat that stuff? It's how we are brought up. Right? Here in Singapore, our people, before is, the person, in Myanmar, you want dry mipo? Yes. You wait. I'll show you how I do it. So after he has cooked it, it's now nicely cooked. How do you get perfect mipo dry? Hands. And without gloves, without plastic, it's there. Yes. What do you want? Oh, so hot today. And he adds all this wine. It looks wonderful. I have never eaten any of that. And I don't plan to try any. So what's perfect? But you've got to understand this idea of perfection doesn't mean perfection as in flawless, as in impeccable, as being sinless. It doesn't mean that. Okay? It doesn't mean free from problems, free from difficulties, everything's been ironed out. It's not what it is. Okay? So you want to be very, very careful. So answer, and it makes my way perfect. Now, this is something you need to ask yourself. What on earth is that? Does it mean no more difficulties? No. This is Romans 8:28. All things work together. Finally. Right? All things work together, finally. But it does not mean perfect as in, okay, now I touch it and, hey, presto, it's there. Nope, that's not how it works. So this is important for us to understand. Is there any perfection in this world? No, never will be. That's why we wear spectacles. That's why we use hearing aids that don't work. Right? Perfect. No, it's perfect theoretically. In reality, it's a nightmare. And so Dr. Daniel saw me on Saturday and he said, can I share something with you? My mother had two sets. One cost $5,000, one cost $6,000, both don't work. Thank you very much. Well, of course, he's stating something that is true. And I am finding how true and how true those words are. Unfortunately, I paid in full already and I'm stuck with this expensive looking objects. What do I do with it? Well, is it perfect? That's what you think, is it? Wow, perfect, I cannot hear. All I wanted, all I said to the technician was, listen, I want to be able to hear a person who is dying and speaking softly. He said, yes. So now when I put it on Sunday, I can't hear the congregation sing because it mutes it. I don't want it to be muted. But if you hear it full blast, you go deaf. So what's the answer? Sundays, I don't use it. Right? Perfect. I have a wonderful array of reasons why I don't use it. So when I travel on board plane, cannot. Don't use it. Then I forget. Best reason. I forget. Don't use it. Then on Saturday, I don't need it. I'm speaking. I'm not hearing. I don't need it. So after the Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, every day they end with letter Y. I have a reason. That doesn't help. So perfect can become very subjective. What it really means is, listen, I'm not overwhelmed by this. That's what it means, okay? I'm not overwhelmed by this, and I am not going to get, listen, this is not going to get me down. So when you say perfect, it doesn't mean perfect as in no problems. There are problems, but you know, I can handle it, not a difficulty. Okay, let me get around it. Well, that is the whole idea. So the word perfect doesn't mean perfect in the usual sense of the word, whatever the word usual means. But watch. What it really means is, okay, one, I have strength to match whatever problems there may be. Perfect. All I need is strength to match it. Right? That's what it is. That's what he's, at this point, thinking about. So you got to balance it very, very carefully. Makes my way perfect, arms me with strength, makes my way perfect. Now, so that the way is full of potholes, hey, listen, I've got strength to fill it up. Are there obstacles? I have strength to chop my way through. That's what it is. This is not a walk in the park. Right? So this is what we mean when we talk about this, my way is perfect. Then go on further. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, sets in me on my high places. This is Habakkuk 3:19. Habakkuk will one day quote David. See, write something good. Somebody may quote it one day. Habakkuk did. Right? We read. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Right? I will go in the strength of the Lord. He makes my feet like deer's feet. Sets me on my high hills. Watch the spelling, okay? H-I-L-L, hills. Not H-E-E-L, heel. Now, that's watch very carefully. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. And this is what make my way perfect. Now, if you were to try to climb out those mountains without feet of a deer, you go up 50 or 100 feet, you go down. But you watch the deer. He knows where to put the feet. And he just nimbly hops from one place to another, looks around, and smiles at the world. Look at me. And there, we go up there. How did I come up here? How do I get down? Now, that is a problem. You see? So he makes my feet like hind's feet or deer's feet. Wow, that is beautiful. Sets me on my high places. In other words, if the terrain here is difficult, God will enable me to climb up to another level, to another height. And you know what? I can do it. He makes my way perfect. You see the whole idea of perfection? So your feet get changed a little bit. Wow, the feet change, like that of a deer. No, not literally. But what it means that you develop the skill of a deer to climb. The courage, the wisdom, the understanding. Listen, I can do this. Wow, that's wonderful. Rather than I can't. Right? Now, this is something that is absolutely wonderful. This is really, really challenging. This is the whole idea. Did you know that there is a Braille fax machine? I actually saw a Braille fax machine in Myanmar. I said, what is this? They came out, you know, it's a Braille fax machine. Wow. It was a donation from a German company to the blind school that is there. Wow. How does that work? Now, of course, I couldn't make sense out of it. But the people in Braille would understand it. Right? Sometimes you step into a blind school, and in the evening, it's so dark, and they say, how come no lights? Don't say stupid things like that. Whatever their lights, no use to them. It's only to the people who need, like, we are the one more handicapped than they are. And they walk around, no problem. You see, the difficulty is when you need to use the toilet, there are no doors. Then we go in, straight away must close the door. Why would you door use a door for? Save wood. They don't need doors. They can't see. You see? You see the whole idea of what is perfect and what is not? It's different. It really is different. I had one experience in a blind school in Thoms Road in Singapore, went there many years ago, and the person said, you know, I hear your word this evening. I'm so encouraged. He didn't say, can I shake your hand? He says, can I feel your face? Now, I didn't know what to say. I said, I guess. Because nobody would dare to say that to me. Can I feel your face? Nobody in his right mind in Bethany, can I feel your face? But there, it's a different situation. He made my way perfect. I hope you understand what we mean, you see? So it's a personalized idea. In other words, I'm with strength. My feet, like deer's feet, I can climb the high hills, made my way perfect. That's what it means. Right? So you mustn't think of it as in no problem, no difficulty. There are difficulties, but I can climb up higher and I can get out of this. Well, that's what he really means. He teaches my hands to make war. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. Wow, that's what we're looking at. All right, so many other Greek stories, you know, of this person who was there and then nobody could bend his bow. There was this wife who was there and waiting for the husband to come back from war. And the young man kept pestering her because she was very wealthy. Whoever marries her will become a wealthy person. And then you ask, why won't you marry one of us? Nope. He kept on pressing her. Everybody coming to come to her place every time, have a feast every night. And then she got fed up of them. So finally, she had this to say. All right? One. Two conditions. First condition, the person must be able to string this bow of my husband. And he uses a mighty long bow. Two of them put together cannot even press it. Out, 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 out. Second, you see the whole row of things, you must be able to pierce the arrow through all the rings. If you can do that, I will marry you. She knew nobody could. Her husband came back one evening and the contest was on. Dressed as a beggar, only the dog knew him. The dog never forgot the master's scent. Everybody laughed at him. You're a beggar. What do you know about arts of war? Can you do better? Can you bend the bow? Cannot bend this bow. He told all the servants. They recognized him. Locked the doors. Strung the bow. Took the arrow. Shot it. Fought with everybody. That's the only way he got. Bend bow. That was how it was in the early days. See, most of us don't realize that the bending of a bow is much harder than you think. You need strength. Okay? Please don't think of it as something as easy. Not the crossbow kind of thing. Short crossbow, short stuff. Short distance, useful. Long bow, no use. You need strength. You need skill. Made my way perfect. Strength needed. Skill needed. Ability needed. That's what we mean, made my way perfect. He's not asking the way will be made easier. Just strength, skill, ability to attend to all the challenges which are there. Let me do it. That is what we are looking at. Okay? And so this is absolutely wonderful. He teaches my hands to make war. Remember, this is in David's time. It's not war for gain. It's defense. there were so and many enemies that would like to do Israel in. He will have, that's why the people wanted, make us a king who will go out to war for us. That was the challenge, and it was not an easy challenge to rise up to. But that was what David knew he had to do. He had to learn how to string a bow. He had to learn strength that is there. Look, he had to learn all these things. There's no other way. He was a shepherd. He's not going to play bows and arrows as a shepherd boy. He's got to learn it as a young man in war, in a camp, in a situation. It's absolutely vital for him to do this. Right? Now, that's interesting to see. Now, in verse 38, right? Watch this verse 38, and this is important for us to see this. Right? Now, let's take a look and see how we need to consider this. You've given me a shield. Now, the word shield is used very often. Right? And the shield of it all. Well, let's look at Deuteronomy again. As you study this, you begin to realize that a lot of the language is actually taken from the prayers of Moses. And that's where you learn. Okay? But let's look at chapter 32. Okay? This is important for us. I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. This coming Sunday, ascribe strength to the Lord. Also from here. You'd be surprised how much of the things we learn are actually found in Deuteronomy. He, the rock, his work is perfect. There we go. Whatever he does, God's work, perfect. He will perfect that which concerns me. Psalm 138 as well. Philippians 1:6. Also from here. This way of God, his way is perfect. God of truth, without injustice, uprighteous, and upright is he. Right? So we will read this. Remember the days of old. Right? The Lord's portion is his people. Verse 9. Right? This is a beautiful verse to memorize. As an eagle stirs up his nest, hovers over his young, spreading out his wing, taking them up, carrying them on his wings. So the Lord alone led him. This is a beautiful description of how a mother eagle. I still remember this series when I talk about eagles in one of the series in church. This was the text that memorized. You know what it's all about? You see, sometimes little eaglets don't like to fly. They don't want to walk. They want to be carried. Right? That's how it is. So I always ask little Mary, what are legs for? When she was a baby, now of course, carrying her. But when she got heavier and heavier, I would have to keep on asking her, what are legs for? 8 years old, she still wants me to carry her. So once in a while. You see? But this is the relationship that I have with her. But watch this. Eagle, eaglets, watch this. Hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on his wings. What's that all about? You know how it works? You know how, how big an eagle's nest is? Please don't think it's like that, okay? An eagle's nest can be as large as literally half the hall. From there to here. Way up there. And the eaglets did like to be fed, right? You know what the eagle does? He smashes up the whole nest. When he thinks it's ready to go, let's do it. Now, either you fly or you die, right? Same. You have to be given strength. You have to have skill. God is not going to fight your battles for you all the time. You got to find the strength and the skill and the courage to fight the enemies. God will be there to back you up. Right? He will be that shield. but you've got to fight your own battles. So what the eagle does is that sometimes he smashes up the thing and the eagles will have to fly. Now, there are some who will, hey, look, I can fly. Okay, you can carry on. But there are some who will not be able to as strongly. That's what we read. And the eagle would fly underneath them. And the eagle, the little ones, will fall on the with the parent eagle. And he will carry them up. Well, that's how it works. This is what God does. He will carry us up when we can't do it. Carry me! Yeah, yeah, as a child, yeah. 3 years old, can. 4 years old, can. 8, 9 years old, not really. I have difficulty carrying. Right? You get frozen shoulder if you were to try that too much. Well, that happens. Right? So this is how it works. So this is how he, this is important. Right? Look at verse 13. He made him ride in the heights of the earth that he might eat the produce of the fields and made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock and so on and so forth. He made him. He didn't give them a straw. Okay, now drink the honey. Nope. Listen, this is flinty rock. Get that from whatever you need, do it. God is not going to spoil his children. Ah, what happened? But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat. You grew thick. That is a, you are obese. You didn't realize that the word obese is in the Bible. Yes. Is God for obesity? No. Nope. Oh, you can find a Bible text for it. Here we go. God is not happy when you see you grew fat, you grew thick. Oh, man, this is... And you grew obese. Oh, boy, that is not a good word. Right? Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Well, there we go. You see? So this is the battle of problem with sin and all that. So this is what the Lord was with his people. He was the rock. He is the judge. And this is important for us to understand how the Lord relates to his people. So Psalm 18, much of the language is really couched in the language of Moses. And you see a wonderful relationship where he learns that God is not going to provide everything, but with his sufficient strength and skill and ability, make your way. That is what God will do. And he knew it. So are there enemies? What do I do with them? I cannot just blow them away. I cannot always ask the Lord, please send the hornets. Send the hornets now. Can't. You cannot say, Lord, may the earth swallow. You can't do that. But you can battle enemies with the Lord's grace, with the Lord's strength. Right? Verse 35, this is how we wonder. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Now, the word shield has been used as a shield of protection. Here is a shield of salvation. In Ephesians 6, it's a shield of faith. So the word shield can be used in a number of ways, not exclusively in one way. So don't be surprised if you see the word shield used in other ways. See, so what does it mean, shield of salvation? If we are already saved, what else do we need? You see the whole idea? Sometimes we just forget. I like Pilgrim's Progress. When this person was walking along the streets and he said, I'm very scared of the lions there. Don't worry, walk a little nearer. Walk a little nearer. How can you ask me what? Watch. You stay on the right path. The lions are chained. As long as you stay on this path, the raw lions may come right up to here. And you are here. Don't worry. You can tell the lion, you didn't brush your teeth this morning. What did you eat? Then the where's your dentist? That is how close the lion can be. But the lion cannot harm you because it is chained. Shield of salvation. And our salvation is wonderful. It's there. Right? And this is what we call the warrior called great heart. You got to ask him to fight for you. Just walk with you. If you don't ask, he's not going to be there. Right? So this is a salvation. From beginning to the end, we are already saved. Until you meander off, and then you go to the other town, and then you fall asleep, and then you get... That's your problem. If you would walk straight, nothing will happen. Not boring either, exciting, but you will have to fight your own battles, right? What's a scroll for? Oh yeah, I forgot to read. Where's my sword? I left it somewhere. What's wrong with us? It's all here. Our part is to read, to learn, to know, to understand, to apply, to grow stronger in our faith and our life. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen. So there isn't an automatic, hey, presto, wisdom will come. Grace will be there. Strength will be there. Strength is how it grows on you. One does not become strong just like that. One becomes strong through exercise. One becomes strong through, you know how to build the muscles up. You know how to build your strength. You don't build the strength. The strength will not be forthcoming. Salvation is a wonderful shield. Why is faith also a shield? If only we know how to use the shield of salvation. You know, most of us don't. We dare not to use our shield of faith. See, usually there are two types of shield. A lot of times, the shield, the small one, is a shield of faith. There is a larger shield. And that shield protects you far better than you realize. The Romans developed this idea of a phalanx. Put them together. It's like a human tank. Shield all around. You can do whatever you want. You will bounce off. And you'll march with a shield there completely. It's a phalanx that will hit anything and everything. It's really hard. But you cannot have weak soldiers. They cannot even move. You need strong soldiers who can really wield those shields. It goes both ways. So there is the shield of salvation that we must understand. There is a shield of faith that we must exercise. If you don't, nothing is going to happen. Obviously, but that's something that we need to look at. Okay? So you can see the relationship between the psalmist and his Lord. Nothing is straightforward. Nothing is easy. But it's really beautiful. You see, there are wars, there are enemies, there are problems, there are difficulties. And he applies different imagery all the time. All right? One, strength. If there is a war to be fought, I will have the strength to battle this war. Right? If there is a hill to climb, I'm going to be like the deer, and I'm going to climb up instead. Right? Am I going to be delivered? Shield of salvation is what I believe in. God will save me. He will deliver me. That's what we see. And so the different imageries were used to describe the different varying circumstances of his life. And there he is at all times, ready, equipped, made strong to cope with whatever. And that is what we see right over here. Given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Wow. And that's really, really wonderful to see how, we just look at how the Lord has held us up. Now, it's really what sometimes we just don't realize how the Lord has held, who has been holding us up. The person who understands puppetry. Somebody is there to hold the, make the figures, wayang kulit, and all the other things. It's God by itself. Nothing's going to happen. The puppets. There we are. In Vietnam, water puppets. Oh, that's interesting to see there. All done in water. It's just variation. But somebody has got to be holding us up. What holds us up? That is important. Right? So as we take a look, we just thank God that He is there with us. He has held us up. Now here's another part. Your greatness has made me great. Wow. Now many people think to be great is wrong. No. You know, sometimes we talk about you are my shield, you are my glory, my glory. What is this idea of glory? My glory. What is my glory? David uses it all the time. What is that? Greatness. What makes you, you? Your glory. Your greatness. Right? In other words, we start off with as a lump of clay. But then we begin to see how the Lord shapes us. And that which He shapes becomes something glorious, something beautiful. That person can be someone significant, someone, as it were, great. I think that's important. I was reading a book at a surgeon's clinic. It was an interesting book. And it was written by a surgeon who was trying to describe how he understood his practice, his work as a surgeon. He says there are two things that would make a surgeon really outstanding. Now, he must have almost have a sense of greatness, or you never make it. The sense of, in other words, what is greatness? The sense of confidence. The sense of ability, the sense of skill, so certain, almost bordering on the point of arrogance. That is what makes a surgeon outstanding. Wow. But on the other hand, you must have the required humility, because it is in arrogance that mistakes are made. He says, that's what I learned, to have this tremendous sense of confidence in what I have learned over the years. And yet I also know and I pray that God will give me the humility to recognize how much I depend upon His grace and His wisdom to respond correctly to a situation. I say, wow, that's an important word. See? Your gentleness has made me great. How did David do it? Can you imagine one sling? What do you think he do? Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, he's glad that the champion has fallen, but he will just give thanks to God for the grace and the strength. Wow, what a shot. Can I enjoy that shot? Yeah, I wonder, really? I saw that. I swung it, and wow, straight and true. And he hit him on just at a spot where he was not protected it. How likely is that going to happen? Well, it's going to take God. But he's got to take strength and skill too. How many times has he done this, practicing, looking after the sheep, bored to death? Right? On that day, all the sheep are lying quietly. What do I do now? Look at that. I can't sleep. I fall asleep. So better don't count. So I take stones and I whack, you know, whack, and you know, I can understand it. When I was a kid, I used to take my cutter paw. I would just aim at a thing. How many times? Countless times. Just to get it straight. Right? And you practice it. You practice every day. You practice it until you can get it. Okay, you get 8 times out of 10. That's very good. 10 upon 10, seldom. You know, you've got it. That's what it is. So you know, part of it, the skill, the strength, the endurance, the perseverance, whatever it is. And along the way, the Lord makes you great. Shepherd to king. Huge jump. How do you do that? The Lord made you great. Can you succeed? Yes. But remember, praise the Lord. Extol Him. Who is a God like our God? Can you see? All the way through, He's ascribing glory to God. He's given me strength, given me His shield of salvation, made my feet like hinds' feet, a deer's feet, made me walk on my high heels, made enabled me to bend the bow. He helped me to wage war. That is God's part. But David, you've got to be David. Michelangelo was once asked, how do you know how to carve David? He said, well, it is a huge stone, right? I just chip away that which is not David. What has got, how's that going to help us? Not at all. No, I've tried. I tried when I used to play this game called Clede. You know, pick a bit of small stone, draw a line down there, and throw, I aim, and whoa. I was pretty good at that. Right? Almost, well, about 90% of the time, I would hit the line. You practice it until you get up. I used to have huge marble piece. So I chip. By the time I ended with a big block of the, all I had was one small piece. That's how much I know about chipping. Don't know how to do it. Chip, I am too big, too small. No good. This one too sharp. This one can't. You don't know. That's your difference. But here is David. Ascribing glory, strength, wisdom, power, glory to God in every sense of the word. And then rejoice. Your gentleness has made me great. And I like the word gentleness and greatness. He didn't say your power has made me great. Your gentleness. Why? Why gentleness has made me great? You see, David had to learn a hard way before he became great. Many years, he had his best feet around, deer's feet, ran away from King Saul. Well, he knows nimbly how to jump from hill to hill because Saul with his 3,000 men, hum, 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 I know where you're coming from. And there he is as gentleness of God all the way through. Right? He could have killed Saul. Nope. Gentleness. Don't do that. Don't kill just like that. Wow, the gentleness has made him great. Now, this is another part which is very, very, sounds almost strange, almost contradictory. Right? First, made my feet like deer's feet. Made climb up the hills. Okay? That sounds skillful, that sounds wonderful, he's very sprightly, you know, very strong. Like a, can you imagine a deer climbing up there? It's wonderful. Now, you enlarge my feet, my path under me. Now, that's another scenario. So you change the scenario. There are times when the road can be so narrow, you cannot go further. Right? So that's when God steps in and says, can't do it anymore, right? Okay, let me show you another path. See, broad path. Ah, thank you, God. There are times when we just don't know how to walk narrow. So the Lord literally has to, okay, let me ease up for you a little bit. See, this is easing up. So there are times when the Lord eases up. And that's true. So the computer breaks down. I don't have to look at it for when my eyes acted up today really badly. Couldn't even open my eyes easily. It was just such a bad allergy problem. It was really, really, it was, kept washing the eye. Oh, really don't know what to do with them. Right? Well, you don't know how to do without them either. Oh, then Of course, you take some antihistamine along the way, but it's not, okay, it's now clear. Nope, it takes a little while, but thank God, enlarge a little bit. Ah, can walk again, can see again, can breathe again. Ah, thank God, whatever. So there are times when the Lord makes it a little easier. You know, it's just a little easier. And that's what it is. He enlarges the feet. So my feet did not slip. You know, I think there's something really wonderful. Sometimes God just does these lovely, wonderful things for us. And you know, just look at it and say, wow, just as I would have loved it. It happens. I don't know whether you ever sit down and think about little wonderful, nice little surprises. You didn't expect it. And wow, it's there. And you say, oh, this is so wonderful. Enjoy this walk with God. No, seriously. So you can see a number of things, number of experiences that are actually here. And it's all about God. It is God who did all these things. That's in verse 31. Right? Okay. 32, strength. 3, way. The Lord made way. Right? Then feet, climbing up the hills. Then hands. Right? And every part of it tells you a different experience altogether. Arms make bind a bow of bronze. There are no bronze bows, okay? There are no such thing as a bronze bow. It's just an idiom to understand how hard it is sometimes to do that. Giving me the shield of your salvation. Right hand has helped me up. Gentleness made me great. Enlarge my path. Wow. These are the many and varied and different experiences of David. Sometimes his hands, sometimes his feet, sometimes his arms, sometimes whatever. I think that is absolutely important for us to understand. Okay? So this is something that you want to appreciate. And there we go. That's God. And he's there. So he's not going to say, okay, this is the park, walk, enjoy, take time, smell the flowers. No. There are enemies. You know what you should thankful for? God's there. These people are going to betray me? Yes, don't go there. Should I go there? Yes, go there. See, that's how David found the Lord. He prayed, he sought the Lord, and the Lord led, guided all the way. Shield, salvation. I mean, for him to fight so many years of his life and still be alive 40 years later, that's pretty remarkable. That really, you know, I mean, remarkable. In America, people go into, after one or two missions to Afghanistan, to Iraq, they come back with a post-traumatic, syndrome kind of a thing. Ah, real problem. David is writing poems instead. That, to me, is pretty amazing. Same war experience. On the one hand, strength. On the other hand, gentleness. On the other hand, war. On the other hand, shield. Right? Sometimes arms, sometimes legs, sometimes feet, sometimes hands. Wow. To me, that is what I mean. This is one of those rare poetic warriors. How many poets do you know are found in warriors? Most warriors don't know. They are like Hagar the Horrible. Hagar the Horrible doesn't know very much about life. He is just horrible in every sense of the word. And so, you know, you should see the people who goes to war with him. You don't know whether to laugh or to cry. There's one fellow who is really stupid, and he dresses like a sack like that. You know, never saw his feet, but you know, they call him Lucky. There's nothing lucky about him. And he's a very unlucky person. Well, that's what it is. So if you take a look at these things all, you begin to realize how wonderfully David was kept throughout all his life. I mean, you just take a look at his career path, right? Shepherd. And all you will be. What do you want to grow to be when you grow up? Shepherd. right? You can't change job if you want to. No, no. Be a soldier. Serious. Commander. Really. King. Write poems. Store enough, amass enough funds to build a golden temple. Wow. That's quite a variety. Quite a lot of things here. And he says, this is all about God. Verse 31. That's why he praises God. So he explains how he praises God. Can you see this? Who is God except the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? He cannot but praise the Lord and extol him for what he has found God to be. See, my greatest fear is that we haven't found God to be anything more than he's there, God. Where are you? We can't speak of any of these things here. We should be able to. Look at your hands. Wow. Right? Linus and Lucy got in a quarrel one day. And Linus always loses to Lucy all the time. And then she gets in a quarrel and he says to her, who is going to make me? And Lucy said, you see this? And then he slowly makes it into a feast. And Linus says to his own hands, why can't you do that? But that is our problem. We don't know how to make use of our hands. I really wish we can do that. It's so wonderful. So sometimes when I see the student pastors and they carry the portable pulpit in their hands, and I, you know, half the time I wish I can do that. I wish I can attempt that. But I've already been forbidden. You cannot carry things like that. Otherwise, you're going to hurt your spine. And the last thing I want to do is to hurt the spine. What a torment it is. I hope you understand what I'm trying to get at. See, there are many things we can do. Feet, hands, arms, you name it. Shield. The Lord is there. Who is a God like our God? Who is a Lord, a rock like our, truly? I mean, only we understand God is far more than you think he is. Experience him a little. See how he is involved in your life. See how he will make a difference in your life. That was David's experience. That's what he wrote about, Psalm 18. That's what we should. That's what we should be praying for, right? I still remember. Well, Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. That's a lot of songs to write. Only one came out in a whole book of Psalms. 1,005. That's like Fanny Crosby. Can you imagine writing like this? What? Look at the number of... He can write on all sorts of subjects, on trees, on animals, on life. Oh, lots of things. But they never got into Scripture. Otherwise, the Bible would be even thicker. Right? The Lord knows much studying weariness to the flesh. So, very kindly, His gentleness. Okay, enough. 66 books, enough. No need 1,005 things to read. Oh, and he wrote 3,000 Proverbs. Wow. You just imagine how much each, if each thought is a strand of wisdom. And yet there were things he couldn't grasp. The things he couldn't understand. But if only we realize there are things we can understand, we can grapple with, we can see God in our life. Find it. Whatever it is, let the Lord be there for us, with us. Think about this. Okay? Or any questions you want to raise up? This is a beautiful psalm to read. There's lots and lots. You can write every, you know, you can, there's so many things to write about. Right? Think about this. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to find you as the rock of our life. Thank you for the shield of salvation. Thank you for strength to cope with life's many challenges, with health, with work, with problems. We pray, Lord, that you will teach us how we can grow stronger in our faith, in our walk with you. Help us to experience the things that David wrote about. How you can help us cope with all the problems and the challenges of life and overcome them and be great in your sight. Bring glory to you. Teach us how we can see all these things come to pass. Encourage our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have a wonderful Chinese New Year. Let's be careful of what you eat and how much you eat. Remember the obese word. Okay? Remember the obese word. It's in the Bible. Many people don't like that chapter, especially when they eat. Jeshurun grew fat and thick. And the Lord said, you are obese. Whoa, that's painful to read. Right? Good night and God bless.